Hey everybody, I cannot wait to talk to you today about this topic because it is such a hot button for me. It is something that I had to learn personally inside of my own life and inside of my walk with God, and I hope that this Facebook Live today helps some of you women out there that are struggling with this issue. As you know, when you're a Christian, you are called to forgive. That's a part of who you are. And inside of our Nourish Scripture this week, it talked about forgiveness. But oftentimes, you and I can get confused about what forgiveness is. And when we walk through a relationship that is not healthy, that is abusive, that is not good for us, because we're confused on that definition of forgiveness versus reconciliation, and we don't understand God's concept of boundaries, it can be a stumbling block for us to forgive. Oftentimes, understanding the truth behind God's principles in forgiveness can be the very thing that will set you free to move forward in life. And that's what I want to talk to you about today with our Nourish Scripture. So this week in our Nourish Scripture, and for those of you that are new to Treasure Ministries, every week we put out a Nourish Together devotion. And at the bottom of the devotion, there's a Nourish Scripture that you can use to walk deeper inside of God's Word. I'm very passionate about women understanding that they can hear from God personally through His Word. And so if you want to find out more about that and about signing up for the devotion or reading through some of our devotions, just go to nourishbiblestudymethod.com. So this week we were looking at the 11th chapter of Mark, just a handful of verses, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. It's a very challenging scripture, but in today's message, I'm going to be unpacking for you the importance of boundaries and how that applies to forgiving others, and especially forgiving a relationship that was very unhealthy and abusive. And I really believe that after you listen to this, you're going to have a new perspective on God's truth about forgiveness. Because really, it's at the crux of our Christian walk. And the Bible also tells us that unforgiveness is a scheme of the enemy. And unforgiveness will put you in a trap. It will put you in a bitterness trap. And the moment, if somebody does wrong towards you, the moment that you hold unforgiveness towards that person, you know, that person that did you wrong, that's their issue. But you make it your issue when you hold that unforgiveness towards them. But for many years, I struggled with this concept because I viewed forgiveness as, for example, if a bully, you know, beat you up, well, you wouldn't want to just stay on the ground and have that bully continue to kick you. And you know, that's not what God's forgiveness is all about. Because God always operates in love, and He wants you to be healthy. He wants your offender to be healthy. And a part of that is you having the faith to set boundaries. So let me just dive into our Nourish Scripture this week and unpack this for you. And I've been so excited to teach this concept this morning, because when I learned this, it was literally life-changing. It gave me the freedom to really forgive people and to reclaim my joy and to really move on. So inside of our Nourish Scripture this week, which was Mark 11, starting in verse 22, I'm going to read it to you because it's very short. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea. May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart." Oh. Sorry about that. That was my phone. I need to turn that off next time before I do this. But anyway. Okay. And really believe it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you have received it, it will be yours. But here's like the most important word in that, in this entire verse, in this entire set of scriptures. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. That's a pretty profound passage of scripture. And we love quoting the first passage, right? Like, yeah, move a mountain and pray. And if I say to this mountain, move, and it's going to move. But we also need to remember that scripture is not unattached, that it's surrounded by other verses. And inside of this verse, in verse 25, there's the word but. And it says, but when you are praying, first forgive anybody that you hold a grudge against. Now, two verses before that, actually, three verses before that, in 22, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. So first he tells him to have faith in God. Then he says, whatever you pray for, you're going to receive. If you believe you receive it, you can move a mountain. And then there's the but. And it's like, oh. And then he brings in the forgiveness part. And there's a lot in this passage, but one thing that I want you to see, we're going to be unpacking this, is that there is a relationship between faith in God and forgiveness. There is a relationship between faith in God and forgiveness. Inside of another passage, inside of the Gospel of Luke, let me, thought I marked it. Yeah, I did. In Luke 17, the disciples, Jesus says to his disciples, there will always be temptations to sin, but sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting. It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. So watch yourself. So whoever is your offender, right? You know, Jesus is saying that's really where the burden lies. But then he tells us how to handle offense. And remember what I said before, there's a relationship between your faith in God and forgiveness. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there's repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns around and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. Check out verse 5. The disciples said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is supernatural, but there's a key for us inside of this passage. The first point that I want you to see is this. There is a relationship between your faith in God and forgiveness. And here's what it is. If you're watching today and you've been offended, when I say this, because, you know, for years I would hear pastors say, well, just forgive, you need to forgive. And it was so hard for me to hear because I wanted to do that, but what was done to me was so wrong and so bad. And I couldn't reconcile or make sense of it, or I couldn't understand how to get over this hump. It wasn't that I didn't agree with it, but I wanted to do it, but I wanted to know how. So the first step is in realizing that it is that there's a relationship between faith and forgiveness, and here's what it is. When Jesus says, you know, have faith in God, in that passage, Mark 11, 22, when you and I are holding on to an offender, and the way that we hold on to offenders is by hating them. By hating them. That's how we hold on to them. Because it really, it consumes us, right? And the really ironic thing is that it doesn't do anything to that person. It doesn't, change anything. What it does is it puts you in a prison. Okay, so that's the way that we hold on to offender is that we hate and we demand justice. Okay, so so Jesus is saying that he says, have faith in God. See, when you and I are holding on to that offender, our faith is placed in the offender instead of God. Did you catch that? Because that offender took something from you. They could have taken your childhood. They could have taken away, I don't know, a job that you had. They could have taken away your worth and value by words they said about you. That offender took something from you. And for example, if I'm holding unforgiveness towards somebody because they said something about me that was ugly, that wasn't true, or whatever it was, if I am holding offense towards that person, I'm essentially saying your words have more power over me in my life than what God's word says about me. Let's say it's something material that that person took from you. Let's say it's money. Well, you know what? God's word says over and over and over again that he will redeem whatever is lost in your life. He will redeem it. And it could be a huge injustice that has happened to you. And no, God is not saying, now say that person was right. No. He's saying, you release this. Because that person doesn't have the ability to restore what is lost. In fact, the Bible tells us that, you know, God has so, the way that God redeems things is so amazing and beautiful. And I'd love to tell you that I was the queen of forgiveness. But this is a principle I've struggled with my entire life. I still struggle with it. And anytime I bring a teaching, it's something that God is teaching me. Okay? So, but the Bible says that God restores in our life. He is a redeemer. He is our kinsman redeemer. And so when somebody takes something from you, who are you going to trust to restore? Are you going to try to make that person pay you back? Or are you going to say, you know what? It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. But I'm going to release you because I want to now look to God to receive. And I'm telling you, as I apply this principle, because I get up on the side of the bed and I struggle too in my walk with Christ. And I've got a flesh, and my flesh says, that's not fair, and I need to make it fair, and I want you to pay me back. And whatever it was, if it's inside your marriage, if this person took your marriage, if this, whatever it is, if it was a friendship and they said horrible things about whatever it is, you know what? I am not going to spend my energy holding you accountable for the loss, because the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's where I'm going to place my faith. And as hard as it is, every time, if you will release that person to receive from God, it's an act of faith. And right here in this passage, it goes through, have faith in God. Then it says, whatever you pray for, you will receive. And then it says, but if you're holding unforgiveness towards anybody, let that grudge go. And I believe that inside of that passage, while there are many things that we can talk about, one big thing that sticks out to me is that there is a relationship between faith and forgiveness, and it's about releasing your offender to receive from God. And if you're watching, and if you have had somebody hurt you, then the best thing you can do is to let it go. Now, what do I mean by letting it go? letting it go doesn't mean that you say what that person did is right. It means that I'm going to let go of my right to retaliate, of my right to like, and let me clarify, you can hate what was done to you. You can hate the action, but you cannot hold hate in your heart for the person. You can't. Because that's God's way. You see, God knew that inside of this broken world that you and I would face offenders. And when we are offended, it is a natural response to respond in that, I'm going to get you back. You know? And it could be anything. It could be done by being passive aggressive. It could be done just in little slight comments. But y'all, women are good at that one. You know, the little passive aggressive, just slight digs that women have. And you can just dig right back, or you can say, you know what? I'm so glad that I don't have to live according to your words. I'm going to return with blessing and then look to God and remember who I am released to receive. All right, now I want to talk about something different, okay? Now that we've established that, I want to talk about the power of boundaries. Because oftentimes you and I can get confused between the relationship of forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation is very different from forgiveness. And reconciliation is it's really up to the other person. And I want to be so clear on this. And when I saw this, it was life-changing. Because oftentimes, you know, we believe that forgiveness means, well, then I'm supposed to return to that unhealthy friendship. Or I'm supposed to, you know, be close with this person or trust this person again. And that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is about your heart. And, you know, do you hate that person? Or are you holding it against them? Or are you trying to get back at them? Or have you released that offender to God? And by the way, when we release offenders to God, God can do it so much better than you and I can. And He knows the whole story. And a lot of times, you know, hurt people hurt others. And a lot of times we just don't have the ability to handle a situation. So again, it's about that faith in God. Like, do you think are you the Holy Spirit? Do you think you can change people? Or do you have the courage to release this situation to God? To release your offender to God, to allow Him to handle it? Stop stepping in. Spend your energy and your time on your purpose. You know, move forward in a positive way. Okay, let me get back to boundaries. Sometimes love means letting go. Sometimes love means letting go. Boundaries can create the space needed for faith in God to arise. Not just for you, but for your offender. And oftentimes, when it says love our enemies, you know what? One of the most powerful ways that God has loved me, because when it says love our enemies, it's agape love. It's not love as the world tells you it is. It's God's agape love. And one of the biggest ways that God has loved me in my life is by telling me, no, you can't have that. No, this is not okay, Aline. No. And as women, sometimes when we're conditioned to be pleasers, whether it was modeled for us in our upbringing or however it was, we have a problem with boundaries. I had a problem with boundaries. I would always feel really bad about telling people no. But when you look inside of what true love is, and the Bible says that God is love, God says no when I sin. He tells me no. Sometimes he disciplines me. When he says, when, no. How many of you that are moms out there, and you know, you just let your kids do everything? Of course not. Because you love them. I love my boys. And part of that is telling them no. That's what a boundary does. A boundary, letting go of people, if that person is unhealthy and abusive, you drawing a boundary sometimes is the most loving thing that you can do. I will never forget, I was in a very unhealthy friendship. And I remember God saying to me, if you love this person, you will let them go. Because when we draw a boundary, it creates the space for that person to, you know, because really that person, if there was abuse involved, they were looking to you as a source and not God. And when you don't draw that boundary, you're enabling that person to sin again. And by giving that space gives that person the freedom to examine their actions and perhaps find their own faith in God. There's a woman, and she did the Joshua study, which is part of the Nourish Bible Study series, which we're working so hard on to renovate and to get printed. That should be coming soon. I'm excited about that. But she went through that study, and she was in a very unhealthy relationship. And it was through that study that God called her to let that relationship go. And do you know that she never entered back into that specific relationship? But do you know that this day, she is very happily married. And the person that she let go of, do you know that he's a believer now? They have a friendship. And so do you see how God worked all this out? And oftentimes, I would be so afraid to forgive because I thought forgiveness meant that I had to just continue to let this person walk all over me, that I had to continue to let unhealthy exist. But y'all, that's not how God treats you. God's put me through sifting seasons. Because he wants me to be a better person. And sometimes that means, just as a loving mother would say no to her child, you know, we need to let go of unhealthy relationships. And it doesn't mean, and you know, what you hope is that in the space of that boundary, that this person will truly change. There is a relationship between faith and forgiveness, and there is a relationship also between your faith and boundaries. When you place a boundary, it means so, it says so much about your faith. You're trusting God to releasing that person to God. You're also not assuming the position of Savior by enabling an unhealthy relationship, right? You're not the Holy Spirit. You're not here to rescue and save people. Sometimes you have to let... Sometimes you have to let people go. And that's what a boundary does. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 17. He says, if another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there's repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. I heard this great sermon this past week on that word rebuke. And it's really like a boundary that you set. And when you set the boundary, it's not really self-protective of you. You're saying, you know what? I care about you so much that I'm not going to enable this unhealthy behavior. I'm going to set a boundary. And y'all, that is why boundaries are agape love. Boundaries are hard because you can't, they just are. They're just hard. But it's one of the most healthiest, faith-filled things that you and I can do as a believer. And the Bible is full of this. Immediately, when I think of forgiveness, I think of the story of Joseph. You know, his brothers threw him inside of a pit, and then he, you know, ended up inside of Egypt, and then he got thrown in a prison, and then, you know, years later, he becomes in charge of Egypt, and his brothers, who are come seeking the help of Egypt because they're inside of famine. So inside of, you know, those passages inside of the book of Genesis, here are Joseph's brothers who threw him in a pit, and they're asking for Joseph's help. And Joseph forgives them, and he does help them. But when you read those scriptures, take a look at Genesis 40 through 50, if you want to read the story. He holds them at bay. He doesn't say, all right, come back in and you can be my right-hand man. And there are boundaries that he sets. They're shepherds. He's still in the palace. And you can see that. And never once did he not take care of his family or love them. But he loved them at a distance. And for anybody that's listening and you've walked through an abusive situation, that's okay to do. And when you let go of that person, then you hit your knees in prayer. And what happens inside of that is that your heart gets really soft towards them. And you kind of feel sorry for them. Like, you know, Joseph's brothers, when you read that story, you start to feel sorry for them because you're like, gosh, you guys like really missed out on this amazing life you could have had, like walking by Joseph's side and helping him in Egypt and being a part of all that. That's so sad. And that's what'll happen. You'll start to feel sorry for your offender. Now, there is a person in my life, and whenever I'm around this person, she can't help but say something rude or something ugly. And it used to like make me so mad that I had hate in my heart towards this person. And, you know, it's such a first world problem, right? I mean, it was just words said, but the words hurt. And it was almost like it was very under the radar the way she did it. And she's still doing it. But what I understand, and you can read the book of Psalms to see this, how much David had to struggle with letting go of his enemies to God, is that, you know what? This person can... The way that I'm free is not by self-protection and, you know, not being who I am, right? But by saying, I feel so sorry for this person, but I'm not going to take your issue on myself. And I'm going to just let you go. And I'm going to look to God to get my worth and value. And you can say whatever you want about me. It doesn't work anymore. It's your issue. And that is a person also in my life that I've learned to hold at a distance and to love at a distance. And inside of that distance and inside of that space, that's when you hit your knees in prayer and trust God to change this person. And that's what God did with Joseph's brothers. He changed them. And inside, too, of that time of prayer, we also need to remember that you and I also are capable of hurting others. That we've also been there. We're not perfect. And we have survival mechanisms that we use. And as we use those survival mechanisms, a lot of times we hurt other people. So it's not like, you know, you're this victim who's never wronged anybody. I mean, I know I have, right? And we need to remember that too. Now, with that thought in mind, inside of the passage in Mark, there's this scripture, and it's like so, oh my goodness, did God really say that? You know, like it's just very like, oh, you know, it's a tough scripture to take, but this is the word of God, you know. I mean, this is truth that'll set you free. It says, but when you are praying, first forgive anybody you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. That's tough to hear, isn't it? It's very sobering. But it's what the word says. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the 18th chapter, Jesus teaches a parable on forgiveness. And he talks about it at the very end. I'm not going to go into it for time, but it talks about forgiving from the heart. And to me, that means not retaliating and not hating anymore. Really loving. And knowing that sometimes love means telling a person no, that's not okay. Because you care about that person. Think about Jesus when the woman who was caught in adultery was getting stoned. And Jesus came in between the Pharisees and the woman. And he drew a boundary. And he created that space for those Pharisees to think. So Jesus told them no, right? That's essentially what that boundary did, because the reality is Jesus cared about that woman, but he cared about those offenders too. He cared about those Pharisees, and he was hoping that they could see the truth. And that's what a boundary does. And sometimes you and I try to play Holy Spirit and try to get this person to see the evil of their ways. But oftentimes, it is boundaries, y'all, that make a difference. With that person I talked about that I've drawn a boundary with, that person has since come and told me that she's recognized that she does this to me every time that she's around me. And you know what? It's kind of sad because she's recognized it, but she still does it. And I think it's just part of her coping mechanisms, that she's one of those people that has to pull other people down to make herself feel better. It's really sad. But you know what? God's word. God knew that we would see repeat offense from people too. And so inside of his word, he says, if another person, believer, sins, rebuke that person. And that's that boundary setting, right? Boundaries are one of the most powerful rebukes that you can get. A lot of times people aren't going to listen to your words. But if you set a boundary, it might push them towards the Lord. Okay, so rebuke that person. Then if there's repentance, then if that person changes, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns around again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. So you know what? This person still does that. And I've let go of my expectations on any change, which is good. But I release that person to Jesus. And I hope that she changes, but not for me anymore. So that she won't stop saying things about me. But because, you know, really it's sort of unnecessary for her to need to pull other people down to prop herself up. Because every woman is God's treasure, right? That's why I'm hoping it. Not for my sake, but for hers. And that's when you know you're in that place of forgiveness. And you'll have to tell your heart over and over and over again. You'll have to tell your flesh over and over and over again, because the offense might keep coming over and over again. And you have to say, you know what? That's that person's problem, but I'm not going to make it mine by hating that person. And I trust God that he'll work out everything in his own time. But believe you me, enemy, if you think that I'm going to get into bitterness and let this offense steal my joy? No. I'm going to spend my energy elsewhere. So I hope that that teaching on forgiveness is helpful. Oh, let me go back. I forgot to finish my thought on Mark 11. But when you are praying, you must first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Here's the point on that. You cannot release what you haven't received. You cannot release what you haven't received. And you know how I said you and I hurt people too? And so when you're aware of that and when you receive God's forgiveness and quit walking around in shame and really embracing His forgiveness for you, then it will be very easy to give it out to others. When I am holding unforgiveness towards others. And y'all, this is something that'll pop up in my life. I mean, I don't know. I'm sensitive, whatever it is. But I have to continue to renew my mind on this. On God's forgiveness for me. And then releasing others. And remembering that that does not mean that I need to be best buddies with this person. But that just like when God forgives me because He wants me to enjoy my freedom in Christ more and to become a better person, God will set boundaries, right? He'll take things out of my life that aren't good for me. And so when you're setting a boundary, it does reflect God's agape love. A healthy boundary is good for everybody involved. They may not like it. My boys, you know, I mean, you know, when you say, okay, you can have one piece of cake, they don't like that boundary, right? They don't like that boundary. Dude, they want to eat the whole thing. But because I love them, I don't want them getting it, to just eat a bunch of sugar and all that. So when you tell somebody no and they don't like it or they don't understand it, I mean, my kids, when they were little, they didn't understand it. Just one piece of cake. Why wouldn't you let me eat this whole cake, right, Mom? But a healthy boundary is good for you and it's good for the person that's unhealthy. And they might, they're not going to like it. Especially if you've been this doormat that just lets you just keep enabling and enabling. They're not going to like it when you start saying no. But it's your no, because in that enabling, they were either looking to you or maybe they were looking to another substance, whatever it was. But you saying no is not unloving and it's not unforgiveness. So that's what I have for today. That's what I have for today. And I want to encourage you guys to join us every week. We send out a devotion. You can go to nourishdevotions.com to sign up for that. And then every Wednesday I come on and I talk about our nourish scripture for the week. But one of the most important things, I'm so passionate about this, is every woman getting inside of the Word for themselves. That you can download our Nourish Notes pages and learn about the Nourish Bible Study Method and dive into the Word yourself. Now, next week, we're not sending out a devotion. We're taking a break. And the reason why we're taking a break is because we at Treasure Ministries is actually looking for a new administrative assistant to help join our team. So if you want to join our team, apply. You can look in our Facebook feed to find that. But so we're going to take a break from that. But next week, I will come back on Wednesday morning, and I'm going to be talking about the Nourish Bible Study Method. And so if you've downloaded the Nourish Notes, but you want a little more instruction in that, come and join me next Wednesday. And I'm also going to tell you why personally, in my own story, that women learning how to hear from God through His Word for themselves is so very important to me. to teach to you. All right, so that's it for today. You guys are awesome. You're treasures. And as you go out there in this world that's a battlefield, when you experience bruises, remember, God has given you a remedy. And the remedy is releasing others to Him to forgive them so that you can move forward in your freedom in Christ. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.